either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما صدق الله العظيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us for a very short time to this world. We find that this time is such a vessel which is incessantly in motion. No one is freed from the restrictions and the restraints of time. And its movement also is unique. The more it recedes, the more it goes back, the more it finishes, the further and further it is taking us. Person drives a motor car, presses the accelerator to go front. If the car is going front, he also is going front. If the car is reversing, he also will reverse. The time is such that it is going backwards. It is passing, and yet it is propelling us forward all the time. This movement Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to when he said, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يُبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدِ وَيُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدِ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودِ. Now why don't you look, ponder, reflect over the movement of day and night, that every new thing is made old. Every distant thing is brought nearer. And every promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which at one time seemed to be very, very far away, even in our day-to-day personal experiences, child is just born. How quickly the day comes that my child goes to university. How quickly the day comes that he's no longer a child, but we are getting him married and now he's a father. This incessant movement, يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ, is continuing all the time and drawing us closer and closer to an absolute reality. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, worship your Rabb, worship your Allah until yaqeen, the reality comes. The life of this world, generally we tend to regard this as the reality. The day-to-day problems we are facing, the day-to-day difficulties we are facing, the day-to-day situations we are facing, we have given these the prominence and the relevance of a reality and we are making effort for this. But this, my respected brothers, is not the reality. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, "An-nasu niyam." People are sleeping. Everyone is in a dream. Someone sees his fancy motor car. He gets his bank statement every day and he sees the bloated bank balance. He looks around at the luxuries and comforts and the amenities in front of him and he feels he is dreaming that he is successful. Another person, his lot in life is that he's a poor man. He doesn't know where the next meal is coming from. He feels that there is nothing going for him. He is also dreaming. An-nasu niyam. He said, people are sleeping. Idha matu intahabu. When they die, then they will wake up. Like when Alim Gizakar Guzari, he says, I was sitting one day in the masjid, and one faqir, one very poor man, he came to me. And he told me that I went today to the biggest industrialist in the town. And I told him that with regards to ownership, and with regards to property and land, you and I have become equal. So this alim says, before that poor man could explain the reaction of that industrialist, this alim blurted out and told this person, what do you mean you become equal to him in ownership? So he says, he also responded the same way. He also asked me the same question. He says, I told him, that at the end of it all, no matter how much you've got going for you today, or how less I've got going for me today, at the end of it all, it's still going to be that 6-foot grave. That's going to be your land, and that's going to be my land. An-nasu niyam, people are sleeping. Idha matu intahabu. When they will die, then the reality will dawn upon them. Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal haya liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. That Allah who created the life of this world, which we have given the level and prominence of being a reality, Allah says, "Wama al-hayatu ad-dunya illa mata'ul ghurur." The life of this world is nothing but a deception. Alladhi khalaqa al-maut. Allah created death and Allah created life. What is the sum total perspective and reality of the life of this world? Liyabluwakum. Not how much you earn, or not how much you acquired, or not how much you gathered. But liyabluwakum, Allah is testing you. Ayyukum ahsanu amala, who is going to please Allah and who is going to displease Allah? Understand, in Islam there is no victory and defeat. In Islam there is no such thing as failure, there is no such thing as victory or defeat. We find that in our thinking, we tend to equate success and failure with victory and defeat. If we are victorious, if we have acquired land, if Muslim governments have been established, if the Muslims are wealthy, then we feel that Muslims are successful. If they are overpowered, if they are defeated on the battlefield, if they've lost their land and their property and their homes and their wealth, then we feel that Muslims are now unsuccessful. Allah's qasam, this is not failure and success. Failure and success has nothing to do with this. There is victory for a Muslim and there is defeat for a Muslim, but that victory or defeat doesn't mean he has succeeded or failed. Because like that, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and not even Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the crown and the prince of Anbiya, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the battlefield was defeated also. In Uhud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was defeated. Does it mean, na'uzu billah, he was unsuccessful? For a Muslim, defeat in the battlefield is jannat. He'll give his life. And if he is victorious in the battlefield, it means the establishment of Allah's deen. That has nothing to do with his success or failure. Worldly prominence, worldly status, worldly wealth, worldly accomplishment has nothing to do with success or failure. There is only one definition of success and failure, and that is which Allah has illustrated clearly in the Quran. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That person who is saved from Jahannam and he enters into Jannah, he has succeeded. Besides this, there is no other measure of success. How much you are worth, what clothes you are wearing, what car you drive, how highly or prominently society looks at you, this has nothing to do with success. More than 90% of humanity today views success in these terms. Why? Because the whole concept of success, the whole object and purpose of this life which we are living in this world, we have decided, set our own goals based on our own logic and understanding. That is why the day that my child brings home a report card from the school which shows that he hasn't got very good marks, that is the day of janaza in that home. But the day that that same masoom child, who I have so much of love for, allowed the sun to rise, defied the command of Allah, earned the curses of his malaika, and earned Jahannam to the extent of 28,800,000 years, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One salah missed, if Allah doesn't forgive, is equivalent to 28,800,000 years of azab. 28,800,000 years of Jahannam. That day there isn't even a frown line on my forehead. Insan's knowledge, insan's uloom, insan's experience is a lie. And any definition or ideal of success or failure based on that will be a lie. Because that Allah who created this insan, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Allah says he is zalim, he is jahil. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. كَنُود كَفُور فَيَؤُوسٌ قَنُود فَرِحٌ فَخُور. Many of us are not familiar with the Arabic language, you don't want to take too much time also, but simple basic translation. No lengthy tafsir required. Allah who created this insan says that this insan has these deficiencies. He is oppressive. He is ignorant. He is ungrateful. He is hasty. He is temperamental. He very quickly loses courage. He very quickly loses control of himself. So never mind what his outward appearance may be. Never mind what garment or cloak of this world he'll present himself in. This is the ambassador of so and so place. This is the general of the army. This is the prime minister. This is a Harvard University graduate. And this is so and so professor. Never mind what outward appearance he will put in front of us. With that, without a doubt, he is oppressive, he is ignorant, he is totally ungrateful, he is hasty, he is temperamental, he loses control of himself very quickly, and the list goes on. So that concept or ideal or any law which this human being, based on his logic or his understanding, formulates, that law and that way of life will have all these weaknesses in it, because its source is defective. So there will be all this, there will be ignorance in it, there will be ingratitude in it, there will be hastiness, there will be temperamental, etc., etc. Allah Ta'ala will gather the people of Jannah. Ya Ahl al-Jannah, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. O people of Jannat, how long did you live in this world? Mentioning this for us to understand how much intelligence this insan has when he gives reality to this life. When he perceives his success in worldly terms. Allah Ta'ala will say, how long did you live in this world? He may have lived for 50 years, maybe 60 years, maybe 100 years. Or like Qawm-e Aad, where the child would become baligh at the age of 300. They will live up to 900,000 years. The reply will be one, labithna yawman. Oh Allah, we live for one day in this world. Oh ba'da yawm, or a portion of one day. And it would be said with such conviction, fas'alil adin, ask those who were counting, this was only one day. This whole life was only one day, or a portion of one day. And because they were in Jannat, every wish, walakum fiha ma tashtahi anfusukum, whatever you desire is yours. Allah Ta'ala will say, ni'ma mattajartum fi yawmin aw ba'd yawm, ni'mati wa karamati wa rahmati wa jannati. What a beautiful earning. What a beautiful earning you have acquired in one day, or a portion of one day. How well you have done. You have earned my bounties. You have earned my favors. You have earned my pleasure. Wa jannati, and you have earned my jannat. Khalidina fiha abada. You will reside herein forever. And then Allah Ta'ala will address the people of Jahannam. Faman zuhziha anin nar wa udkhila al jannata faqad faz. Only if they were saved from that Jahannam. It may have been a president, it may have been a prime minister, it may have been a billionaire. Only if he was safe from Jahannam has he succeeded. Ya ahlan nar, O people of Jahannam, kam labithum fil ardi adada sinin. How long was this life? Yawman o ba'da yawm, wallah, one day or a portion of one day. For the luxury and the comfort and the ease and the respect and the admiration and the recognition of one day, or a portion of one day, Ya Allah, I have destroyed my akhirat. Allah Ta'ala will say to them, بِئْسَ مَتَّجَرْتُمْ فِي يَوْمٍ أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ. This is an expression, the equivalent is like, somebody comes to his father and says, this is the deal that I did. I went and sold this and I bought that. And his deal, he made a big loss. So what his father will say? What is wrong with you, you fool? What a terrible deal you went and did. Where's your intelligence? Harvard University professor. Intellectual. So-called enlightened thinker. The Einstein of his time. And what Allah will say, how foolish you are. What a foolish deal you went and did. In one day, or a portion of one day, nari wa ghadabi wa sakhati. What have you earned? You have earned my fire. Kalla la yumbadhanna fil hutama. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةِ. Allah says they will be thrown, لَيُمْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ, into the treasure. And what will make you know what is the treasure? نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ. It is Allah's kindled fire. الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ, that will penetrate the hearts of man. This fire will penetrate the hearts of man. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةِ, it will be sealed up over them. This expression, إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةِ, مُؤْصَدَةِ. Really, this crippled, inadequate English language can never do justice to Quran. Impossible. This is just not even an iota what we are trying to explain. But if you want to understand what this word mu'sada means, You might have seen a pressure cooker. The walls of it are very, very hard and solid. The bottom of it is solid and the top of it is solid. A little hole is left on the top. As the pressure cooker is boiling, a little hole is left on the top to allow the steam to escape. Because if that hole is not there, then that same pressure cooker will become a bomb, it will explode. So for the little steam to escape, that hole is kept. But because it is locked up, then that meat which normally takes 2 hours to cook, in half an hour, it will cook in the pressure cooker. We can ask our wives. And if it's left a little bit longer, then the meat will get separated from the bones also. And if it's left even longer, then those bones will melt in that pressure cooker. So the walls of Jahannam are solid. The underneath is solid. Allah Ta'ala says the roof will be lifted off. The cover will be lifted. And the Jahannamis will be thrown into Jahannam. And innaha alayhim, this word Allah creates such a frightening picture we can't imagine. Allah says, upon them we will seal it. In a normal pressure cooker, there's a small hole left for steam to escape. Here there won't be any hole. Because the walls of Jahannam are so strong that there's no chance of it exploding. And this insan will be melted inside, like how that flesh is melted. And each time he is melted, Allah will put him together again. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى, because there is no death in Jahannam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. Allah says, those who rejected our signs, we will put them into Jahannam. Each time one layer of flesh is burnt, we will replace it with another layer. لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ, so that they taste the azab of Jahannam. And not for one day or a portion of one day. It comes in one riwayat that if the people of Jahannam are gathered and Allah says to them that as many as the grains of sand in the world, we can't count the grains of sand in the yard of this masjid, but as many as the grains of sand in the whole world, for each grain of sand 1 year, I will keep you alive in Jahannam for 1 year, for each grain of sand in the world, and after that time I will give you death. Comes in the riwayat that such will be the joy of the Jahannamis. If they heard something like this, that if death was possible, they would have died as a result of their joy. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاسْ. There is no other success than this. But if he is safe from Jahannam and enters Jannah, then only he will have succeeded. And on the other hand, if it is told to the people of Jannah, the same thing. That equivalent to the grains of sand on this earth, you will be given life in Jannah, and then you will be given death. It is said, if it was possible to die out of sorrow and grief in Jannah, the Jannatis would have died. That direction and that goal and that destination and that perception or conception or idea of success which has its roots in human intellect, human experience, human knowledge is zulmat, it is darkness, it will never give direction. It is lacking of the noor of wahi. It does not have the light of revelation. It is darkness, this whole humanity. That is why today, this entire insaniyat, this humanity is steeped in darkness. That darkness which Quran describes, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرِ اللُّجِّيِّ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ السَّحَابِ ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Jeeb, the darkness of the night, and then the darkness of the black waters of the ocean, and then the darkness of the waves upon the waves, darkness upon darkness, so much darkness that if he takes his hand out also, he won't even be able to see it. And those who were given the light, those who were given that source which has its roots in wahi, in the noor of revelation, their situation has become such that they have turned their backs on the light and have become the slaves, the obedient slaves of those in darkness. Waladdallin, Ameen. Ameen. Whatever the West says, Ameen. The West, if you look at it, my respected brothers, is a place of darkness. The sun doesn't set in the east, the sun sets in the west. Darkness starts in the west. Ignorance starts in the west. The east is the place of light. The east is where the sunrise comes from. The east is where coolness comes from. And Baytullah, Allah Ta'ala has kept in the, not even in the east, in the middle east, in the heart of the east. Makkah is in the heart of the east. Medina is in the heart of the east. Allah's Nabi, Janab Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, born in the middle east. Not just Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ibrahim Alayhi Salam, middle east, in the east. Ismail alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Zakaria alayhi salam, Yusha alayhi salam, Suleiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, and go more back, Nuh alayhi salam also in the east. And go even more back, Adam alayhi salam also sent down in the east. Ceylon, which is in Sri Lanka, is in the east. To show this humanity that light will come from the east, the inception of humanity took place in the east. And we have made our imams the West. When has nakedness ever been found in the East? Look at the history of humanity. Only when the East adopted the dressing of the West did they become naked. Only when they made them their imams they became naked. Blind, like blind fools. Whatever they say, Ameen. If they tell us that success is based on economy, Ameen. If they tell us, strip your women of their shame and their modesty and make them the commodities of the bazaar, in that is gender equality, in that is dignity and honor, Ameen. It doesn't make any sense, but still we are saying Ameen. Still blindly we are following them. As if we have no imam. As if we have no source of light. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tastadhi'u binaril mushrikeen." He said, "Don't even take warmth. Don't even take warmth from the fire of the mushrikeen. They are blind. They are in darkness. They can never guide you." In every aspect of our life, we have abandoned his way of life. The Quran has become an irrelevant message to us. He's got a doctorate. My son has a university from Oxford my son has a degree from Oxford University. My son has this degree and that degree. He can't even understand one verse of the Quran. And we are proud of his intelligence. We are proud of his achievements because the Quran has been reduced to something read in Salah. It has been reduced to be opened up when somebody's mayat takes place and make khatm al-Quran. Or when you're opening one shop, I want barakah to open the Quran. And in that same shop, the music is blaring. In that same shop, there is shamelessness and behayai. And on the wall is the picture of the verse of the Quran. Why barakah is coming in my business? Why? Because the West has told us. And they are our imams. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. What height of ingratitude when Allah says that if we had to reveal this Quran upon a mountain, that mountain would be rent asunder with the fear of Allah. In one hadith it comes, the Quran is the kalam of Allah. If the Quran in its original form as Allah's kalam, not in the form we have it where it has been put into letters because of insan, if it's in its original form, if the Quran had to be revealed onto the Lawa Mahfuz, the Lawa Mahfuz would have been destroyed. Such a Quran. And what must have been the capacity of the heart of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this Quran directly was transmitted into this heart. Yet it has become a totally irrelevant message for us. We have become a people who have no source of direction, like a person who is lost in the desert. He is lost, he doesn't know where to go, he doesn't know which direction to go. Whatever anybody tells him, he'll follow. Dress like this, Ameen. Talk like this, Ameen. Conduct your business like this, Ameen. Every aspect of our lives we have destroyed, humiliated and mutilated the teachings of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the name of modernism, in the name of enlightened thinking, in the name of Islam being a religion that keeps up with the times. Don't misunderstand, my respected brothers, I am not negating science that don't acquire knowledge, but to teach your child English, does it mean that your child has to look and has to dress like a Yahud and Nasara? What has the English or the knowledge that he's going to acquire got to do with that? What is the link? Science is not the knowledge of the West. Science is the knowledge of the universe. Whoever makes effort on it, Allah will give it to them. Japan is not in the West. And Korea is not in the West. Science, whoever made effort, Allah gave it to them. In fact, the first bomb, if you look at history, the first bomb was invented by an Egyptian youngster. When Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi's army was besieged in the fortress, surrounded by Richard's army in the Crusades, in those days, they used to attack the fortresses. They had turrets made out of wood behind which they would hide, and they would come close to the fortresses and fire on the fortress. So what happened? Richard's army had found a chemical which, if they put it over their turret, the way that this type of attack would be repulsed is that the Muslims would light fires on their arrows and fire these arrows at the turrets. Because it was wood, it would catch fire. Then the enemy would run out from behind and they would be able to attack them. So now that they had put the chemical on this turret, it was not catching fire anymore. And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi was very, very worried, what is going to happen now? So one youngster came to him, Egyptian youngster. And he had these metal, the things that look like pots. And he said to him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, place these metal pots. Those days they had what they called minjani, catapults. Place this on the catapult and propel it towards the turrets. So he said, what is this? Our arrows which have got fire on them and are useless against this. What is this going to help us? He said, just do it. So when they fired this metal pots onto the turrets, as it would impact, it would explode. It was the first bomb that was ever invented. And the turret itself would explode and burst into flames. There were 50 turrets like this. He had given 50 to Salahuddin Ayyubi. On this, Allah Ta'ala gave them victory. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi fell down in sajda. And then he got up and he told this youngster, that ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He was so happy. So this youngster said, that being for whom I did this, he will give me, I don't need it from you. Because that was the sunnah of Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr, in ajriya illa ala Allah. That I don't need return from you, my ajr is from Allah. I did it for Allah, so I will take it from Allah. But coming back to the point, science is the knowledge of the universe. Whoever, science is not the sole proprietorship of the West. There is nothing for us to feel inferior about. In fact, what is true knowledge? Allah's Qasam, the ordinary gatekeeper, the ordinary Muslim gatekeeper who's never been to school, has never seen the inside of a classroom also. And so far as his deen is concerned, for years he hasn't even seen the inside of a masjid also. But he has brought iman on the oneness of Allah. And he has recognized the nur and the light of hidayat represented by Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Qasam, the knowledge and the intelligence which that gatekeeper possesses is greater than the knowledge and intelligence of the whole world of kuffar put together. Because that knowledge eventually is going to save him from Jahannam. What reality is there in their knowledge that we are feeling inferior? Basic question. Who created you? Why were you sent to this world? When you die, where are you going? Open up the archives of the universities of the world. If you are given a life of 1,000 years, and with a microscope you go line by line, in the archives of the universities of the world, Allah's Qasam, the answer to these most basic questions, we won't find it there. Who created this universe? What is the purpose? After I die, where am I going? Their Greek philosophers, up till the 19th century, they said the world existed from forever and it will be forever. Then along came Darwin, who had an affinity with monkeys. And said we came from there, at least before that one cell, and then by chance. Then Edwin Hubble in 1932, he came forward and he said no. The universe is expanding all the time, so if it is expanding, it must have started from some point. So there was a huge explosion, what they call the Big Bang Theory. But he was intelligent enough to realize that everything was too controlled, there was too much precision for this to have taken place by chance. But the atheist still said no. We accept it, there was an explosion, it started from that point, but it happened by chance. One Australian scientist in 1948, Paul Davis, Allah Ta'ala, I don't know whether I should even mention this, most of us won't understand, but in case, he said that there were two things, two opposing forces. One was the gravitational pull that is found in matter to pull inwards. Every force of gravity. And he says the other was the outward motion because of the explosion. So these two things were opposing each other. On the one hand, the matter was pulling inwards. And on the other hand, it was traveling outside because of the force of the explosion. He says there was such precision and such balance in these two forces. Although they were opposing, there was such precision and balance that he says this type of intelligent explosion is impossible. To understand in layman terms, it's like somebody saying the bomb was planted in this masjid. And when the bomb exploded, each person in this masjid was blown from here into his house. If he lived in West Road, he ended up in West Road. And if he lived in May Street, or he lived in Curry Road, or he lived Sydenham Hill, he ended up exactly in his house. Intelligent explosion. Oh, another simple example, like if there's a person, farmer has harvested his crop, all the wheat is lying there, and then an explosion occurs, and all the wheat explodes so intelligently that it ends up in its bale packed on the truck. This Paul Davis, he said, that so little was the margin for error, there is such precision, that he said so little was the margin for error between these two forces. One, the gravity pulling inwards, and the other is the force of the explosion pushing outwards. That he said if there was no margin for error. He said if there was, he says that if there had been a margin of error to the extent where if you take 1 second, 1 second, and divide it by 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, To divide a second, he says, if you divide a second by 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 parts, and for that length of time, when this explosion occurred, the gravity was too much, or the outward pull would have was too much, then this entire universe would have been destroyed. So he says, we don't, this is not Quran and Hadith. So if we accept it, well and good. If we don't accept it, then no problem. But he says, when they couldn't even be this margin of error, how do you expect me to accept that this happened by chance? It didn't happen by chance. He says there had to have been somebody, there had to have been some being, there had to have been some force behind this. But that pagal, foolish person didn't realize that 1400 years ago, أفلت شموس الأولين وشمسنا أبدا على أفق العلا لا تغرب. That sun rose in the Middle East, which the poet says that the sons of every nation of the past have said, but our sun, our source of light, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till Qiyamah will never set. 1400 years ago, this Paul Davis and others said there had to have been some being. Their whole lives were spent trying to understand who. 1400 years ago, he said, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ يَطْلُبُهُ حَثِيثًا وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ وَالنُّجُومِ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرِ تَبَارَكَ Allah Rabbul Alameen. Verily your Rabb is Allah who created the seven heavens and the seven earth in 6 days. Then he rose upon his arsh, the sun, the moon, the stars, subjugated to his decree, يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. Everything kept locked in its place, its movement dictated by Allah to such precision. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ التَّقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. The sun is moving in its set pattern. This is the direction, this is this is the decree of a being who is mighty and has complete knowledge. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلْ حَتَّى عَادَكَ الْأُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. And the moon also moving in its set directions. لَنْ لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَنْ تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكِي يَسْبَحُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, the sun will not collide with the moon will not collide with the sun, each moving in its set direction, each one swimming in that daira, in that pattern which Allah Ta'ala, ذَلِكَ التَّقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, a being who has complete knowledge has set for it. And then Allah Ta'ala challenges, look at this universe that I've created. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُتُورِ. Use your microscopes and use your radar and use your instruments and see, can you find any defect in it? هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُتُورِ ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِيًا وَحَسِيرٌ. Allah says, look again, and then look again, and then look again. You will never find any defect in the creation of Allah. Total and complete control. This is the real knowledge. This is the reality that ordinary gatekeeper, Allah's Qasam, who has recognized the oneness of Allah, who has understood the source of light, represented by Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Allah says, we have prepared for Jahannam many of the insan, many of the jinnat. They have minds and hearts, but they have not understood. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, no, they are worse than animals. لَا تَسْتَضِيءُ بِنَارِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, do not take warmth, do not follow the knowledge of the mushrikeen, those who have turned against Allah, those who are relying upon their own knowledge. This entire humanity, my respected brothers, has no intelligence. This entire humanity is blind. This entire humanity is deaf. They have not understood. They cannot see. They cannot hear. There was only one individual, one personality who came with true light, who came with true hearing, who came with true understanding, and that was Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every aspect of his life is unique. In fact, history, where have we found history recording the life of an orphan? Normally history will record the great warriors. You want to know Napoleon's history, you'll find it. Sikandar Zulkarnain's history, you'll find it. The poor, paupers and the orphans, normally history doesn't record their lives. Yet, in the heart of the Middle East, in the arid desert lands, that yatim is born. Every aspect of his life has been recorded for posterity. It was the 22nd of April 572, according to the solar calendar. And according to the lunar calendar, 12th of Rabiul Awal is one call and 8th of Rabiul Awal is another call. The time of Subah Sadiq, the time of true dawn, that groom for which the whole humanity was waiting came. And look at Allah's system, that for His Nabi, Allah chose a desert land because the vegetation and crop of that land was Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. He didn't need vegetation and crop. For his Nabi, Allah chose a place without water because the water was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every aspect recorded. 63 years of life, 22,320 days, till eventually he leaves the world on the 7th of June, 633, according to the solar calendar. And the 12th of Rabiul Awal, he was born on a Monday, and his demise also on a Monday, on the 12th of Rabiul Awal, 11th year of the Hijri. Days of Nubuwat that he received was 8,156 days of Dawat and effort. 22,320 days of life Allah Ta'ala had given him in this world. Every aspect recorded. Mother's name Amina, father's name Abdullah, midwife who assisted in his birth, Shifa, the mother of Abdul Rahman bin Auf. His foster mother Halima, one alim writes, he said that his inception occurred in the oven of Abdiyat. His father's name was Abdullah. He was nurtured and nourished and developed in the womb of Aman and peace. His mother's name was Amina. That personality who was going to give Shifa to the entire alam was born. The midwife was Shifa. And he drank milk from the breast of Hilm and Akhlaq, of tolerance and character. His foster mother's name was Halima. These are not chance occurrences. Nothing in this world takes place by chance. This is Allah's system. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. a Rasul from amongst yourselves so that everything should be apparent for you. His shafqat, his kindness, his mercy, his generosity, his tolerance, his knowledge, his piety, his abstinence, his courageousness, his bravery, his strength. Every aspect should be apparent, because greater than this you will not find amongst the creation of Allah.